Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. In case you were waiting for me to tell you, today's Thursday, June the 20th. It's time to get out of bed, okay? Get hopping. Do something productive with your life. Thursday, June the 20th, 2024. Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, good morning to you. I'm just going to say, I know we got two other people to introduce.
Yeah.
But I can remember being in high school.
Right.
And sleeping till noon.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely would my dad let me, but I can remember sleeping till noon.
Oh, on a Saturday sometimes?
Yeah, on a Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, if I can make it past 3:30 or 4:30, it's...
Of course, the advantage of being a pagan, you could do that on Sunday.
Yes, and
we had to get up for church.
Yeah, that's
Christian
right.
Family, but yep. Once you got saved, you had to start...
Every time the doors are open.
All right, Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good to see you guys.
And Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
Where you been?
Wherever Fred needs me. I've actually
been on a little vacation time.
I took some PTO. Use them or lose them.
Did you go?
That's right.
Did you go out into the woods and just be in nature? Or what'd you do?
Not this particular time. A couple of weeks ago, my family and I.
I don't mean to get personal.
Oh, no. A couple of weeks ago, I did go to the beach in Alabama, but the past couple of days, I just sat around at the house.
Okay. You already been on the beach family vacation?
Yes, sir.
Thing.
Yes, sir. I did not see any sharks, praise God.
Okay. Yeah, the sharks down there
yes.
on the Gulf Coast, just, they're like, they're going crazy down there.
I know. My wife and I are going in October because we don't do heat.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, to the beach?
To the beach. So is this a real thing? A lot of sharks?
Oh, yeah. And even a pod of orca whales.
Really?
Off of Destin, yeah.
A pod of orcas, they were a great grunge band back in the 90s. If you remember, they sort of preceded Nirvana.
Yeah. Did a live show in Nineveh.
Pod of orcas.
Oh, man. I wasn't a big fan of that kind of music.
Right.
They could go.
Yes, they could.
I'll tell you what.
If you played the record backward, you heard Paula's dead.
Look them up. Pod of orcas.
Uh-huh.
Okay. They had a Behind the Music.
VH1.
Special on the Pod of Orcas. Anyway, it was fascinating. So
there are people, but there are people listening who are going, you know, I thought he was kidding at first, but the way
I'm going to look up Pod of Orcas.
He's continuing to go. Maybe this is a real band.
That is a problem, man. I continue to go on long after people know it's not true. There was two teenage girls, this is about 2 weeks ago, who mm-hmm. were attacked by a shark, mm-hmm. I guess a bull shark, along that 38 stretch, Rosemary Beach, somewhere. It was somewhere between Destin and Panama City.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, and the girl was fortunate to live. She was like a 16-year-old teenage girl, and there happened to be doctors and nurses who were vacationing, too, who knew what to do to save her life. They had a tourniquet her.
Wow.
And I think she was out waist deep or something like that.
It wasn't far.
Yeah. That's the scary part. A lot of people, if you're familiar with the beach, Destin, Fort Walton, you on the shore, and it goes down a little bit, you may be up to your waist or so, and then there's the sandbars. So people don't think about sharks when you're standing in a sandbar. You know, it's only up to your calf or whatever. But this is where they're coming in.
They're getting closer. They don't know why exactly that the sharks are getting closer to the shore. The small fish must be getting closer to the shore.
Yeah.
Of course, all these lefties always say, it's global warming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything they can throw on global warming, they do, you know. Who knows why somebody – people do say, well, sharks do live in the ocean.
Mm. Right, right.
It is their domain.
Well, I mean, I saw these headlines, but for some reason I was thinking it was like, it's always Australia or something.
Oh, yeah, the big coral reef or something. The thing about it is, so anyway, there's been pictures and videos in the last week or so of sharks along that area we just described. The interesting thing is here is, I say interesting, we were there for family vacation, the end of last week in May. We were in Destin, and we were on the beach, the whole family. And Walker and Wesley, my son and my son-in-law, and there were about four or five of the adults said, one day they said, hey, we're gonna go out to that sandbar out there. Because as Fred describes it, along that area, you got the beach, and you got, 15 feet of water, and then you got a sandbar.
Yeah.
Right, that you can go to. They did that. My sons, the geniuses that they are, decided they would take on nature. It's something about being a male. I don't know. And went out there.
Well, once one guy suggests it,
The other guy
can't wimp out.
Mm-hmm. Right. I just said, I'll stay here and watch kids.
That's what
I'll stay here and watch the small children. You guys, you want to take on the ocean? You go for it. Mm-hmm. But they were out there where the week we get home from the beach. And then a week later, this report comes out about this attack. Yeah. So, and also you better be careful about going out to the sandbar, because the sandbar can be deceiving from the beach, because they went out there about 100 yards. They got out there and they said, it looks like from the beach you can touch, but they got out there and they couldn't touch.
Oh, so you still have to tread water.
Yeah. Well, they had a float.
Oh, okay.
They had a float. You would have, if you're just swimming out there, you'd be out there going, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be, supposed to be able to stand up.
Yeah.
My brother one time, and I've described this before, but it doesn't stop older people from telling stories twice or three times.
And you qualify now.
My brother went to, this is 25 years ago, 30 years ago, and I forgot whether it was Gulf Shores or Destin or somewhere down there. Anyway, he went down with his buddies to the beach. Well, they did the college boys. Hey, let's go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They went out to the sandbar, three or four of them. They got to the sandbar. They were able to stand up.
Yeah.
And then they started back, got into the water to start back to the beach, and a dorsal came by.
Mm. Ooh.
And it's not funny, but my Mark, my brother, he tells the story. So his three buddies,
a shark,
a real shark.
Yeah,
his buddies were already committed. They were out halfway into the.
Yeah,
they were like shark food. Okay, really, but they did make it over. But Mark, my brother, he had waited a couple of minutes, so he was stuck now by himself on the sandbar, going, "When do I go?"
Hmm. Oh, I'm going to be that guy that's on the news. That's what
they had to rescue.
Yes,
they sent a helicopter out 100 yards to get you, or a boat.
Yeah,
yeah, I know. I wouldn't have. I'm saying I'm with you.
And at some point, the tide comes in, and you can't stand on the sandbar, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because it gets covered.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I think he saw it. It swam away, but I don't know how far I had to go. Maybe I'm exaggerating the story just a little bit, but I'm not exaggerating what he said. Hmm. That he started to go, and there was a shark dorsal.
You know, it is,
what you call it?
Yeah, dorsal fin. Yeah.
It is very interesting that we are discussing this, because I like to look up the On This Day in History thing that a lot of news outlets put out. Britannica puts out one that I'm a huge fan of, and they go, they have all kinds of things that happened on this day in history. It's interesting that we're talking about sharks, because on this day in history, Steven Spielberg's thriller Jaws was released in theaters, and it was a huge success, essentially creating the genre of summer blockbusters. It was on this day in 1975.
Yeah, really?
Mm-hmm. And that ended my swimming in the ocean.
Yes.
I've been in the ocean since then.
Well,
and like I've said, my buddies and I, we used to swim way over our heads.
Yeah.
And just float out there in the ocean. And
now, you're talking about New England.
Yeah.
Isn't the water brutally cold there, it's even cold in the summer?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't warm up.
It's cold. You dive in, and you just have to get used to it.
Right.
And you can't stay, out long.
Right. All right. Well.
And you don't start going to the beach and swimming in May. Mm. Oh, you got to wait till the actual summer.
Whereas the water in the Gulf is really pleasant.
Yes. It was nice.
Yeah. By the way, today, you were mentioning it yesterday, you thought it was the 21st, but today is the summer equinox. Mm-hmm. Longest day of the year, Tim. You enjoy
that
it.
That sounded like a horror movie, too, though, doesn't it?
The longest day of the year.
Along comes the summer equinox.
The summer equinox.
Takes over New York City.
From the people who brought you Sharknado.
It is. Is it Shark Week yet?
I think that's in August.
Oh, but that cracks me up.
What, Shark Week?
My wife loves those movies, those stupid movies where the tornado scoops up sharks and they kill people on the 23rd floor.
And then snakes get in planes and things happen, you know.
Yes.
Then the equinox comes along.
The summer equinox.
The end of the world.
Finishes off whoever's left.
All right. So I don't know how we got started on that trend, but.
Shark Week, July 7th through July 13th.
Yeah, I knew it was in the summertime, just enough to scare people to death.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will go waist deep, ankle deep.
Well, we do have a board meeting for AFA in August, and I'm going to talk to them, and we're just going to have to prohibit all three of the Wildman men being in the ocean at the same time. Right.
Like, don't fly on the same plane?
Yeah. There has to be a designated survivor of the Wildman family.
You got to have one of you left.
Riley is head of the foundation. I mean, he's holding the purse string.
That's true.
Anyway. All right. Today's Jan Markell will be with us a little bit later on. What are we going to talk to her about, Fred?
We're talking to her about the World Economic Forum. Klaus Schwab is back in the news again. So it's a topic she deals a lot with. And basically, they would like to regulate, in other words, tell people what they can eat and what they can't eat.
The world food supply.
All under the umbrella of climate change.
Now Klaus Schwab's brother, Charles Schwab, he's not really as bad. But now this Klaus guy.
No, he just wants to make money off of climate change. Yeah.
There are people who want to use organizations... international organization to try to control the planet.
Yes.
In various and sundry ways, and they do that in the name of doing good
for
humanity. But still, the sinister nature of a lot of this is needs to be talked about and revealed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, whatever happened, I'm sorry, I don't know. Do y'all know what happened to this? Tony Perkins would be a good one, or Michelle Buck. What happened to that World Health Organization story that...
Mm-hmm. They've put it off. They put a final vote off
A
while.
The World Health Organization?
Yeah.
World Health Organization. Because of all the opposition to their plan.
Jan Markell know about that. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear anything else about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, congratulations to the University of Tennessee and Texas A&M University. They, those two schools made the College Baseball World Series finals.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so they're going to play, let's see. So I think Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Mm-hmm. It's a three-game
series, So they, Tennessee and Texas A&M. Yeah. So that'll be, I know we have a lot of listeners in those.
Right.
Not to put any pressure on either program, but in recent years, the winner has had a terrible season the next year. So it's a matter of, do you want to have a championship and be terrible next year? Or you just, you know.
Yeah, it's not necessarily their destiny.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a curse.
You know. All right, go ahead. What's your next story there, Chris?
This is a huge story. Fred posted it on our website. It's huge, as some candidates might say. It's a big story on AFN.net. Fred posted it yesterday, and we're going to be adding to it today and tomorrow. Yesterday, Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry signed a bill into law that requires the Ten Commandments be displayed in every public school classroom in the state of Louisiana. This is part of an effort to show the historical impact that the Ten Commandments had on world history and certainly American history and law. You can't go to Washington, D.C. without seeing things, biblical, and the Ten Commandments is one of them. And so Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry wants kids to see the Ten Commandments on a poster or something in every public school classroom. Obviously, when this comes out, and things like this happen, people have a knee-jerk reaction and a question of, well, is this legal? And somebody that says it is legal is First Liberty of Counsel Matt Krause. He told me that he thinks courts will rule in favor of Louisiana's new Ten Commandments law, Clip 7.
In 1980, there was a case at the Supreme Court called Stone v. Graham that dealt with a Ten Commandments display in Kentucky in their classes. In their school rooms, and the Supreme Court said you can't do that. The only basis they gave for doing that was saying that it violated the Lemon Test. Well, in 2022, in First Liberty's case, Coach Kennedy versus Bremerton. The Supreme Court not only gave Coach Kennedy the ability to pray at the 50-yard line after games, but they also discarded the Lemon Test. So the only basis upon which the Supreme Court had said you can't put the Ten Commandments up in schoolhouse rooms was taken away in the Kennedy opinion and replaced with the History and Tradition Test. There's nothing more historical or traditional in American history or legal jurisprudence than the Ten Commandments, and that's what gives it the ability to withstand constitutional scrutiny this time around.
Now, Krauss also told me that he has no doubt that other states are probably going to be following Louisiana's lead here in the next few weeks or months.
Now, this is, by the way, this is posting a poster-sized display of the Ten Commandments. This is our own story, by the way, at AFN.net. That stands for American Family News, AFN.net. You scroll down a little bit because this was posted, I think, last week, I think we...
Yesterday.
Oh, yesterday, mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, it has to be, this poster has to be the Ten Commandments in large, easily readable font. That's what the actual law says. And it's in all public classrooms from kindergarten all the way up to state-funded universities.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I didn't realize it was all the way up to the university level. I'm all in favor of this. I know the atheists are going to squawk. In the 1980 decision, Stone v. Graham, what the Supreme Court said, now get this, folks, the Supreme Court said, if you post the Ten Commandments, students will read it and maybe influenced to obey it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now we are 40 years plus past that. Mm-hmm. And it's time for kids to be influenced to obey the Ten Commandments, because the alternative is we are seeing our country come apart at the seams. And in my opinion, it's hard to prove this by causation as opposed to correlation. But in my opinion, the, quote-unquote progressive move to remove, to separate public life from our Christian, Judeo-Christian roots is at the epicenter of all of our social ills.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a magic wand that will solve all that, but it's the kind of thing that it's, Fred, a step back in the right direction.
Well, and the reasoning in that decision you just referenced, they might be influenced by. Well, there are things on classroom walls all over this country.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't think they're not put there to influence, so what? They're put there to influence, to inform. And by the way, one of the other aspects of this law that's just been passed in Louisiana, no public funds are used. There's not... taken from the public coffers.
Right.
It's donations to individual schools. And therefore, the argument of, you know, the church and state argument that taxpayers' money cannot be used to promote one particular religion,
mm-hmm.
well, it's not being used, taxpayers' money.
And the Ten Commandments are being posted with other, quoting now the law, foundational documents mm-hmm. of our state and national government. And the displays are paired with a four-paragraph context statement describing how the Ten Commandments, quote, were a prominent part of American public education for almost three centuries.
Yeah.
So, good on Louisiana.
Yeah. And the governor there, do we have his comments?
We don't have audio from him. Not yet, anyway.
Okay. Landry.
Jeff, yes.
Anyway, he basically said about potential lawsuits regarding this. He said...
Bring it on.
Yeah. He is a former attorney general of Louisiana. Prior to becoming governor, he served in that capacity. So I would think he knows a little thing or two about law. And current attorney general Liz Merle was his number two there. She was solicitor general when he was AG. So she will probably gladly defend this if and when it does go to court. And it's probably going to.
This will be billed as promoting a state church-state violation.
Mm-hmm.
This will be, that's how the left will view this. But as you guys cited, this is among other documents that
it is.
Huh?
Yes, it is.
That are foundational to the U.S. Mm-hmm. And that's a matter
well,
of
and it's fact. And the absurdity of the argument that is made, violation of the separation of church and state. Let's set aside. Most of our listeners know that there is no wall of separation in the Constitution. We all know where that comes from. But I always want to ask these people, what church are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Because this, the Ten Commandments, is also part of the Jewish faith.
Right. That's true.
So what particular church is being linked to? You can't, right. And you can't even just say, well, it's all you Christian wackos. Well, so all the Jews and the Christians too?
Yeah.
And it is, as Louisiana has said, a foundational document that for three centuries was just fine in America till mm-hmm. the atheists and the secularists got in charge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would blame, this is blaming my own industry, and sometimes people laugh when they hear somebody in media blaming the media for something, but I would largely blame media for the lack of awareness on the whole separation of church and state thing, because as you mentioned, it's not in there. It's right. People have misinterpreted it, they twisted it, and media could set the record straight for people on these kinds of things, but they've never have.
The Supreme Court used the phrase, lifted it from a letter mm-hmm. written by the Danbury Baptist to then President Thomas Jefferson, saying, we're worried that the government will come after our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas Jefferson said, no, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights provides a wall of separation between church and state that protects your faith from the government,
mm-hmm.
not separates religion from the foundation.
Yeah. I think that holds a little weight coming from Jefferson, right. being a founding father. He was more than just a president. So again, I think somebody knows a little something about the law,
right.
And was, you know, doing something there. But do check that out, AFN.net. I am in the process of trying to get our friends and acquaintances at Alliance Defending Freedom on this. And then earlier today, I'll post this link in just a moment. Jenna Ellis had a couple of people on to discuss this and other topics, so I'll post that podcast on our Today's Issues Facebook page.
Okay, well, as they say, good on Louisiana.
Yeah.
And I'll just say this as a side note, and I can't name them all right now, but there are some really good governors right now in some of the red states
yep.
across the country. Smart, savvy, people of conviction who are taking, and also some attorney generals.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I was reading yesterday, it was an attorney general in Missouri, I think.
Andrew Bailey.
Taking on
Planned Parenthood.
Well, it was somebody, I think it had something COVID related. I think he was going after Pfizer or somebody for misrepresenting the vaccine. You guys, does that ring a bell? Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, was that Kansas?
Was it Kansas? AG?
Kansas, yeah.
Was it Kansas AG?
Yep.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, but anyway, Missouri has a good AG, too. Let me see that story there. yeah, the Kansas Attorney General is suing Pfizer amidst claims the firm engaged in, quote, false and misleading marketing, end quote, over the COVID-19 vaccine. I'm just saying, what's the gentleman's name? AG Chris Kobach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that there are some governors and some attorney generals in some of these red states that are rising up and taking a stand and resisting the leftist agenda trying to be imposed, especially by the federal government.
Yeah, and one thing we haven't even talked here about attorneys general is several of these red state attorneys general are female, and they're Republican, and so the left often talks about how it's, you know, men infringing on women's rights. Here in Mississippi, we have a female attorney general. She was instrumental in the Dobbs case that overturned Roe.
Yeah. Anyway, maybe one day we'll do a governor and attorney general all-star team. Huh? It's midsummer. It's about
right.
baseball all-star
team. Yeah.
We'll do an all-star team because we have some really, really good ones. And this is going to become more and more important, folks, as we go along, who your governor is.
Yes.
And who your lieutenant guy, who your attorney, I mean, state politics is, because we're getting more clashes between the state and the federal government. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
This June marks 2 years since the overturn of Roe v. Wade. But did you know that the number of abortions actually increased the following year? In 2023, the amount of abortions reached its highest level since 2012. Preborn continues to stand strong for women in crisis. Preborn is a ministry of compassion that showers women and babies with God's love, providing free ultrasounds to mothers to introduce them to the precious life growing inside of them. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation will also help to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. So please, give your best gift. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. On this June the 20th, Ed, you said today's the longest day of the year?
It is. Okay. The longest day.
It sounded like a movie.
It was a movie. It was actually based on, it's about D-Day, based on the book by Cornelius Ryan, maybe? It was written about D-Day.
Yeah. I don't remember D-Day happening in my lifetime, but I'm just saying I remember the book and the movie.
Yeah.
The longest day. Who was a star in that? Do you remember?
I think it was everybody. Okay. John Wayne was in it.
Oh, this is long before Saving Private Ryan, then.
Yes. Got you. The longest day. It's really a good movie.
It's a war movie.
So let me see the cast here.
When did it come out?
Streaming. I'm going to have to watch it. Came out, I'm not sure. 62.
It was John Wayne?
I'm checking here on the cast. Cast and crew. So, Eddie Albert, Paul Anka was in it.
Paul Anka?
Richard.
The singer?
Richard Burton, Red Buttons, Sean Connery.
Sounds like a comedy.
Fabian, Mel Farrar, Henry Fonda.
It was a who's who.
Peter Helm, let's see. Peter Lawford.
Buddy Hackett
Roddy,
in there?
Roddy
busy on the
McDowell, Sal Mineo.
Soupy Sales in there?
Soupy Sales. Robert Ryan, George Segal, Rod Steiger, Tom Tryon, Robert Wagner,
right,
Stuart Whitman,
and
John Wayne. That's like 700 years worth of acting careers.
John Wayne in it as well.
If you would scroll down and start reading the credits for this. Did you do that?
Huh? Well,
stage manager?
You wanted me to do it.
I did want you to do it.
Now you're mocking me for it.
Food catering.
I kind of wanted the top three, household name actors.
I had to go down.
Okay, I got you.
So but John Wayne. It's streaming on Hulu. I'm going to watch it.
But John Wayne and Henry Fonda, that was a big name.
Yeah.
Back in that era.
Yeah.
It came out in 62, you're
62.
Saying? And it was about the Normandy invasion?
Black and white. Yep. There it is, okay. Right there. I'm watching the trailer.
Okay.
All right, you guys go ahead with whatever stories you're dealing with. I'm going to watch the trailer.
You're going to watch the trailer? All right, Today's Issue is the name of the program. Thank you for listening. If you want to watch, you can go to stream.afa.net. Did I got that right?
Stream.afa.net.
STREAM. If you want to watch this show or a lot of the shows we have here on AFR, then you can just go to stream.afa.net. Stream.afa.net. We're also available on Facebook. Just go to Today's Issues, search for Today's Issues, and then YouTube, Brent, is what? The YouTube access?
Today's Issues Live.
So if you go to YouTube, you got to type in Today's Issues Live.
Right.
And then what about X?
X, formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
American Family Radio.
Okay.
And then whatever, like, whatever's live.
Get whatever we're putting out.
Right. That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
All right, Fred, you want to introduce our friend and guest?
Absolutely. Our good friend Jan Markell, host of Understanding the Times, heard Saturday at 1 p.m. Central and Sunday at 12 noon right here on AFR. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, gentlemen. So nice to be with you. Thank you.
Nice. It's the longest day of the year, the one warm day of the year in Minneapolis, correct?
Yeah, you got that. Since we last talked, it went from winter to summer. So, yeah, so breathing a sigh of relief here.
All right.
Was it 90 there today?
Yesterday, I believe. In the last 2 days, it was, yes.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
It's an aberration, but it does happen.
Well, yeah, I would just say... We Southerners say, "How you like that?" You want some of that?
And then in the winter we get a half inch of snow.
Right, and it gets down to 28.
Says, how do you like
how
that?
How you like them apples? Yeah. Anyway, all right, Fred, go ahead, Jan.
Jan, a topic that you address quite frequently, a name that we hear on your program, Klaus Schwab, German engineer who has founded, I guess, the World Economic Forum. Anyway, there's an article in the Daily Caller written by Mary Rook talking about the ongoing agenda of the World Economic Forum under the umbrella of climate change. They would like to control what everybody eats. They want to get rid of chickens and cattle and, you know, beef, eggs and all that sort of thing, and basically just eat plants.
That's right, or bugs.
Or bugs.
Plants or bugs.
Yes. Yeah. What's going on here? And
are you all kidding? Is this
a joke? No, this is not a joke. And I just want to I just want to publicly say that they will have to pry the ribs out of my cold, dead hand.
It'll be a longest day before the...
Yeah.
No, this is not. We're not making this up, right?
No, it's legit.
It's all part of Jan of the globalist agenda out there.
Yeah, in a sentence, that's exactly right, Fred. I mean, the World Economic Forum, correct, founded in 1971 by Klaus Schwab, who just stepped down. He's no longer the head of it. I'm sure he's still very active, but he's 87 years old, so he's turned the reins over to someone else. And I think we need to recognize this is the premier globalist outfit in the world. Obviously, we have the United Nations, we have the World Health Organization, and we have the World Economic Forum and others. But I'd have to say this is the premier outfit that just about everybody, other than conservatives and Christians, but the rest of the world looks on with high esteem that this outfit is going to change the way we live. I mean, this is the outfit that's putting all the pressure on the farmers in Europe. You know, we've seen them protesting here for the last few years because they're being forced out of business. And the tragedy is this is all driven by, well, two things. Number one, globalism. But secondly, their nutty fixation on the fictitious climate issues, climate change, et cetera, which... God's idea of climate change is four seasons, but these guys have another thing in mind, and they think that the climate is changing severely enough to change it, to ruin the whole world. So one of the ways to fight it is to make all of us eat nothing but vegetables or maybe some bugs at the same time. So it's a very serious thing that's going on.
Oh, absolutely, and they even have a name for this. They're calling it reinvention. And one of the things, some alternative proteins, this according to this article, rely on plant-based cultured and precision fermentation, while other companies have even begun to use, are you ready for this, synthetic biology proteins.
Mm-hmm.
This is machine-made proteins.
Right.
The human body is not going to react well to that.
No, but you can also believe that the elite who are behind all of this will not succumb to this, that they will continue on with their beef and whatever diet that they've always been enjoying. And that's the thing with these globalists. They consider themselves so much better than everyone else. They are exempt from any pressures they're putting on the rest of the 7 billion people in the world. I mean, they really are terribly, well, their character is almost non-existent. And I think an underlying issue that's driving them, and I'm not being conspiratorial here, is to reduce the population because they believe we've got to get it down to 500 million. Well, if we starve some people or don't give them proper nutrition, they're going to die.
Well, this article is, and this article is quoting the WEF, World Economic Forum, is also pushing the use of AI technology to determine an individual's dietary needs. Now, they're calling it personalized nutrition, and that sounds, wow, that sounds like something we'd all want to do. Let's, you know, give me an exercise plan and a dietary plan. Mm-hmm. But instead, they are going to use AI technology to determine not only what we should eat, but how much we should eat. They call it sustainable new dietary habits. And this is a quote from the WEF. Personalized nutrition can also minimize food waste by matching individuals with meal plans that use ingredients efficiently and effectively. Okay, so now I'm not saying
eighth grade home ec.
Yes, well, I'm not saying that we all should be at, you know, the Bonanza buffet five times a week, but this sounds like they're going to limit caloric intake.
How do you do this?
How
do you do this practically speaking? I'm talking about.
WEF wants to do, and this is what, and I'll let Jan come in here since we had her on. This is why you had all these protests in Europe, because what's going to happen, I think, is you're going to have corporations buying up family farms, and all our food will be provided by corporations. And then the next step is for the WEF to be telling which country how much food they can, because the corporations will be multinational. I mean, am I far off on what their plan is, Jan?
No, I think that's very accurate. I think, just think about that term, personalized nutrition. They're going to personalize it by using artificial intelligence. You start contemplating the invasiveness of AI, that they're going to somehow get a hold of how our body functions, the amount of calories we need, and then personalize a diet. Well, this is all space age type, you know, science fiction. It's hard to believe. They believe that they really believe they're going to press on with this kind of an agenda, and I think they will. I mean, I don't know how far they're going to get, but I think they believe it with all their heart. They call it a comprehensive transformation of food supply. And then I think we need to just take it one step further and ask, well, is this going to be implemented in what the Bible calls the tribulation? And we don't know, but if it is, of course, there the Antichrist will control everything, including every family farm he'll control. So they really could employ this quite easily in that tribulation period. But the question is, you know, is this going to happen next week or next month? We don't know. I just think we need to be watching. I think we should keep an eye on these one-worlders, the globalists, the people who want every single government to be united under perhaps a single ruler who will give forth these kinds of edicts. I mean, we just don't know the timing. It's going to happen. We just don't know when.
Talking to Jan Markell, host of Understanding the Times Radio, which is on Saturdays at 1 o'clock and Sundays at 2 at noon, Central Time, right here on American Family Radio. Jan, what happened to the story about the World Health Organization and the treaty? Refresh my memory. Go ahead.
Well, they were going to, in May, come forth with, and I don't have the official language, but come forth with a health plan that would unite the world, and they've tabled it. They couldn't pass it in 2023. They couldn't quite pass it in 2024. They're now saying that by July of this year, they're going to go back into the negotiations and try to get it so that it will be passed in the spring of 2025, and that would perhaps put Mr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, head of the World Health Organization, in charge of the world, because the WHO would be in charge of everything based on our health needs and based on past pandemics and future pandemics, i.e. bird flu, et cetera. Now, will this happen? Again, you know, God is in control, so it's so hard for us to say when and if anything like this is going to happen. But my position is if it's in the Bible, which global government is, then we need to really pay attention. And I think that there are three candidates for world government, not necessarily in this order: World Health Organization, World Economic Forum, and United Nations. And maybe they unite and become one organization and form Antichrist Kingdom. This is speculation, but again, it's speculation based on the Bible.
All right, talking to Jan Markell. Jan, thanks for being on with us, and we look forward to the show this weekend.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, that's Jan Markell, host of Understanding the Times. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You know, I know a lot of people listen, or a lot of non-Christians, and some Christians listen to this kind of talk, and they mock it. You know, they go, listen to these people. They think the international boogeyman's coming to get them.
Coming
to their house. Listen to this crazy talk.
Yeah.
Okay. And sometimes it does sound like crazy talk. It does sound like it.
Right.
But there are, and a lot of what we're discussing today does comport with what the Bible talks about at the end of the world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The end of the age, the Bible prophecy. Fred has taught on this many times. But the things that the Bible talks about are only today possible because of the technology that exists.
Right.
Y'all tracking with me?
Yeah, I'm tracking with you.
Okay, so now, and I got to tell you, I think it's good to be skeptical of stories sometimes, because we have seen wolves in sheep's clothing. Mm-hmm. You know, we have seen people try to take advantage of Christians by doing outlandish things or say outlandish
making
stuff up.
Yeah, making, what, yeah, what day, Jesus yeah, yeah, coming that kind back, of thing. All that.
But I would just say this. This World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum, for example, and the United Nations for another example here, while they may do good work on certain fronts, nobody's denying that, like maybe giving health care to people in Africa or who are poor, needy around the world. But there are these experts, quote, some of them are experts in their fields, science, economics, politics, whatever. They view themselves. There's a reason why they meet. Okay, the World Economic Forum, and these are some powerful, prestigious people.
Yeah.
And have great influence around the world with world leaders. I mean, this isn't a joke. Okay. And these folks think they know better than everybody else.
Yeah.
And sometimes they do on some things. There's a reason they have the degrees that they do.
Right.
But the plans, what they want to do, and I know I'm talking generally here, they, and I always want to know, well, who is they? The people I've just described, and there are names that can be attached to it. But their desire is to control the world, not necessarily by putting they don't want to necessarily put a military presence around the world like Adolf Hitler did, for example, or some Alexander the Great. I mean, other people down through history, the Romans. But they would like to control the world through money, through force countries and people in countries to comply with whatever they say is a regulation that's needed to save the planet.
They want to control the world for our own good.
Yes. For our own good. Yes. So we've mentioned this before. This is a truism. People often will surrender freedom if they're guaranteed security.
Yes. Mm.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. Okay,
people would give up liberty in the name of safety or security so that's what we're talking about here, and especially the United States of America and the West broadly. But the U.S. we march to our own drummer, okay? Not that we don't care about the world. Nobody's done more to help the world than the United States of America is. We just celebrated D-Day, the Normandy invasion. Of course, Canada participated in that as well, Fred.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody, no country has sacrificed more in the history of mankind for others with no desire to get anything for it than the United States of America.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to say this is real. Whether these people get anywhere or not, that's why we're reporting on things like this.
Well, and the difference, you know, the United States, what we are about is helping other nations that may be experiencing poverty, food shortage, that sort of thing. But remember when Joe Biden became president, one of the first things he did was appoint John Kerry as his climate czar. John Kerry wants to surrender the sovereignty of the United States to the global body. President Joe Biden is in that camp as well. He is willing. They were all in. The United States is all in on the idea of surrendering health policy to the World Economic Forum. Now, they use the excuse about the next pandemic, they say. Mm-hmm. There should be a global body that decides what policies are put in place. So we now have a government that's willing to, it's not about helping other nations, it's about we're going to surrender our decision-making to a global body. That's the huge difference. And that's where the tension is right now. You know, conservatives want to maintain the sovereignty of the United States.
Sure.
We'll decide for ourselves. Sure. But we do have people in high places in this country, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, yep. Joe Biden, who are willing to surrender our sovereignty to a global body.
Yeah. Generally speaking, Democrats favor submitting the U.S. to global edicts, and generally speaking, Republicans resist surrendering our sovereignty to foreign edicts or international bodies because we want to remain free and independent. And so that's just, again, broadly and generally, that's the philosophies of the two parties.
Mm-hmm. Let me point people to a resource that is available through American Family Association.
Has this how to grow your own food?
No, nothing. Oh, nothing quite that helpful.
We don't do anything on that front yet. I thought you and I might do a video on that.
Yes, because you and I are really good at growing our own
garden and you know.
Yeah. No, this is helpful in terms of understanding what we're discussing right now. And you can go to resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net, and put in the search bar these words, the progressive threat to the American Republic. All right? The progressive threat to the American Republic. Now, I am not getting anything out of this. I wrote this, and this also includes a cultural institute. I did a video, on the same material. But you folks, you need to get this. This is the reason why I wrote this. This idea that Tim was talking about that is deeply ingrained in the quote-unquote progressive movement is that the experts should run the show. And even to the extent that the rest of us vote too much on important issues. That was what Woodrow Wilson, one of our presidents, said, a progressive, all right? You can get this pretty cheap. You can get a 5-pack of this booklet for $10. You can hand this out to your friends. The progressive threat to the American Republic. I always like what Frank Turek says when people say, you need to follow the science. We need to follow the science. Frank Turk's always saying, science doesn't say anything. Scientists do.
Right.
Science doesn't say anything. Scientists do. And you know what? Scientists can be influenced to say a whole range of things that may not actually be scientific.
Right. I was thinking about that earlier when you talked about how some people, even Christians, will kind of mock doomsday talk and say, oh, they're, you know, this is crazy, crazy stuff. I've heard for years from even believers that, like, downplay Revelation because they think, oh, John was in exile. He was kooky. You know, and it kind of opens, I would say that opens the door to doubting anything of the Bible, which is a dangerous road to go down, if not an evil one. But anyway, I was thinking about the whole Christians are talking about kooky stuff. Many of the people that mock Christians for talking about the end times are people that believe in climate change or global warming, which we have been told for decades is going to cause all kinds of things that has never happened.
Right.
You know, by the way, tell folks again how they can get this
Yeah, they can just go.
The booklet and the video you're talking about that you did.
Right. So resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net. That's our resource center. And in the search bar, simply type in the progressive threat to the American Republic. Now, it comes in a booklet, and there's also a video, what we call a Cultural Institute DVD, that is the same material. That's only $6.99. We're not trying to make a bunch of money on this, just cover the costs. You can get the video and one booklet for $11, or you can get a 5-pack of the booklet for $10. I forget how many pages it is, 24 pages or something like that. But it lays out a brief explanation of natural law, of what the Bible says, what the Declaration of Independence drew from that, and how progressives in this country and worldwide, but I especially cover this country, what they've been doing since the period of the 1880s to the 1920s and beyond, including people who consulted with our presidents. I mentioned President Woodrow Wilson. What this mindset means for the future of the American Republic, because remember, true progressives hate the Constitution, because the Constitution separates powers, provides checks and balances.
Right.
Progressives want to aggregate power.
Right.
They want it in D.C., and right. Globalists want that authority actually transferred overseas to a one-world government.
Good explanation. We'll be back in 5 minutes for more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.